RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by news across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture invites people to define the National Family Planning Day as a day to remember the importance of family. The National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, invites parents to control materials at social media. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, advised that the commemoration of the 24th National Family Planning Day 2017 should not only be a ceremony, but also make the National Family Planning Day as a vital time for all communities of Indonesia. Synergy between central and local government is needed in the development toward the welfare of the people. It was delivered by Puan Maharani during the peak of 24th National Family Planning Day 2017 in Bandar Lampung Province on Saturday, July 15. Minister Puan said the current infrastructure development must be in line with human resources development. The minister hoped that human resources will no longer compete in Indonesia but in the international world.
Dan yang menjadi salah satu pilar dalam pembangunan sumber daya manusia itu adalah keluarga.
One of the pillars of human resource development is the family. It is started from how the family, mother and father, educate their children. How the health began to be exemplified by parents to their children. How we keep the family to keep their positive thinking in their environment and affecting the environment. And of course, beneficial to the entire community. Minister Puan Maharani believes that if families are tough in social, economic, and cultural terms, the children can live independently, prosperously, and happily. The communication revolution in the world currently cannot be avoided, making all generations are able to play an active role in using social media. However, the biggest problem is an easy information of radicalism, intolerance, provocation, and propaganda have been found in the social media channels. This was conveyed by the Director of Prevention and National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, Brigadier General of Police Hamidin, to RRI in Jakarta on Saturday, July 15. According to Hamidin, an active role of the community, especially the parents, in controlling the related materials which are widely circulated, became the key to preventing intolerance and radicalism in the midst of their family.
Di 32 provinsi kita punya FKPT, kemudian FKPT itu...
We have FKPT or Coordination Forum for the Prevention of Terrorism in 32 provinces. Then FKPT has to work those elements. And we also have means of communication for the people through the Peace Media Center. That's what we are always doing right now. We work together with Communication and Information Ministry to monitor the sites in social media. If we assume it has radical element, we also have mechanisms to block the sites. That's what we do.
Hamidin added, the National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, cannot work alone. Therefore, the National Agency, with its Prevention of Terrorism Coordination Forum, make cooperation with 32 other ministries and institutions. Vice Chairman of Indonesia Security Incident Internet Infrastructure, Salahuddin Manggalani, evaluated that the blocking of one of social medias in Indonesia caused Indonesia lost a link in eradicating terrorist networks. Nevertheless, Salahuddin encouraged the government to remain solid and make the blocking is the last option. He hoped that social media organizers can play an active role in helping the government to fight terrorists. He calls for social media services that operate globally to enter the rules of every country by following applicable laws. Salahuddin also asked the government to enforce the Information and Electronic Transaction Act. It was delivered by Salahuddin Manggalani to Radio Republik Indonesia in Jakarta on Saturday, July 15. Indonesia has its own rules, which allow the government to take decisive action, such as by closing access or blocking. It is included in the ITE law as well as in the ministerial regulations. So, the mechanism is actually exists. The problem is, how about the social media services which are operating globally, not only for Indonesia, but also all over the world? There is a corridor of rules applicable in Indonesia. That is the problem. Previously, the Indonesian government had blocked the Telegram site. The blocking was done because Telegram services contained terrorism, radicalism, and bomb assembly, so that the move is necessary to be conducted to safeguard the state security. Indonesia is not the only country that blocks access to Telegram messaging application services. Other countries have also blocked Telegram. Last month, Russia threatened to block Telegram if they did not reveal information on the companies behind Telegram to the government. Russia's Federal Service for Supervision of Communications, Information Technology and Mass Media, Roskomnadzor, as Reuters shared, accused Telegram for violating the regulation. Telegram app's CEO Pavel Durosat had 40 million active users in Iran. However, last April, based on court decision, Iran blocked voice call Telegram without any clear reason. It is alleged that it is due to politics since the Telegram was blocked days after an arrest of dozens of people of reform movement who use Telegram as their communication channel. Another possible reason is to protect domestic phone companies. Duro on January 2016 confirmed that Telegram traffic in Saudi Arabia was limited. In addition, China also blocked Telegram in 2015 because Telegram was used by a human rights attorney who was targeted by the government. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan instructed that Kalimantan and other provincial administrations to stop exporting commodities of raw material. He demanded that the natural resources to be processed so that they have added value. Luhut said in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan on Saturday, July 15, that promoting downstream sector is absolute. Indonesia cannot export raw material. Indonesia needs to identify the value added. Luhut explained that promoting downstream sector could be implemented to all commodities ranging from coal to coconut pulp. He exemplified that Kalimantan has great potential for coconut palm reaching 32% nationally with 11 hectares of plantation and 40 tons of production. He added that promoting downstream sector would bring benefits from farmers to businessmen or investors with better dividend. The last item, The second Tour de Flores TDF cycling race and tourism event being held on July 14 to 19 is expected to be more challenging as the number of regions to be covered during the tour has increased. The 2014 TDF covers a total distance of 808 kilometers, an increase from 661.5 kilometers in 2016 due to the addition of the Aguilambay Road in Ngada District. Some 20 cycling teams comprising more than 150 cyclists from 11 countries in Europe, America, Asia, and Australia are participating in the tour. Last year, 20 teams from 16 countries had taken part in the TDF that was held for the first time in May. Its Nusa Tenggara governor, Frans Leburaya, flagged off the cyclists participating in the 2017 TDF race at the start line in front of the East Flores District Head's office in Larantuka on Friday, July 14, 2017. The cyclists started in Larantuka and later headed to Maumere, Ende, by Borong, Ruteng, Aigila, and Bay until finishing in Flores Islands, westernmost town of Labuan Bajo. The first stage, covering a distance of 148 kilometers, started from Larantuka in East Flores District and finished in Maumere in Sika District on Friday. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture invites people to define the National Family Planning Day as a day to remember the importance of family. National Agency for Combating Terrorism, BNPT, invites parents to control materials at social media. That was the news.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Hello listener, welcome back to our weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first story comes from Denpasar, Bali. Bentara Budaya Bali, a non-profit cultural organization of Kompas Gramedia in Ketewal, Gianyar Regency, in collaboration with the Australian Embassy in Indonesia and the Australian Consulate General in Denpasar, held a street art workshop and collaboration. Event organizer Juwita Lasut in Denpasar said on Thursday that the event involved a leading indigenous Aboriginal artist, Janda Marakat. Juwita explained in the open activities for the public, Janda Marakat will collaborate with street art artists of Bali who are members of Jamur community. At the workshop and collaboration, Janda Marakat and Jamur community will share their aesthetic and stylistic experiences of various street art. They also explore more deeply about the iconic icons that depart from the visual or symbolic forms of certain animals. The event marked a celebration of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders' history, culture and achievements, as well as the Diversity Month of the Australian Embassy Lifestyle Campaign, highlighting Australia's cultural diversity. Next story comes from Bogor, West Java. Bogor City Resort Police provided free snacks for residents at the peak of the 71st anniversary of the police in Makodim 0606 Jalan Sudirman last Monday. Residents can enjoy the food provided by 20 street vendors that including ketoprak, meatballs, chicken porridge, and siomai. Deputy Officer of the 71st Birthday Ceremony of Police at Bogor City Police, Kompo Nono Darsono, said the traders served 200 portions of free dishes for residents and guests who attended or witnessed the 71st anniversary of Polri. The peak of Bogor City Police's 71st anniversary was also enlivened by various attractions including the Little Police, Mojang Jajaka, and carnival attractions involving 1,300 joint personnel from police, TNI, Mobile Brigade, and mass organizations on Jalan Sudirman. Last story comes from Surabaya, East Java. The Regional Board of Pesantren or Boarding School Indonesia, IBI, of East Java, established a digital pesantren as part of effort to combat radicalism that began to flourish in social media or the internet. IBI Chairman Zaini Ahmad, on the sidelines of the plenary of East Java in Surabaya, said on Sunday that the role of this digital pesantren will be education and training for all santri in all pesantrens, especially those under IBI. IBI, targeting the boarding schools, have received informatics lessons, so it is advisable to hold technology experts from several campuses to realize this program. That was the news from across the country.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over at the World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on July 16, 1945, when Trinity, the first atomic bomb, was tested. Listener, Trinity was the code name of the first detonation of a nuclear weapon conducted by the United States Army on July 16, 1945, as part of the Manhattan Project, the White Sands Proving Ground, where the test was conducted, was in the Jornada del Muerto Desert about 35 miles or about 56 kilometers southeast of Socorro, New Mexico, on the Alamogordo bombing and gunnery range. The only structures originally in the vicinity were the McDonnell Ranch House and its ancillary buildings, which scientists used as a laboratory for testing bomb components. A base camp was constructed and there were 425 people present on the weekend of the test. The codename Trinity was assigned by J. Robert Oppenheimer, the director of the Los Alamos Laboratory, after a poem by John Donne. The test used an implosion-designed plutonium device, informally nicknamed the Gadget, of the same design as the Fat Man bomb later detonated over Nagasaki, Japan, on August 9, 1945. The complexity of the design required a major effort from the Los Alamos Laboratory, and concerns about whether it would work led to a decision to conduct the first nuclear test. And the next event was in 1968 when Saddam overthrew Iraqi president, at the time Hassan al-Bakr. Saddam Hussein Abdul Majid al-Tikriti was the fifth president of Iraq, serving in this capacity from July 16, 1979 until April 9, 2003. A leading member of the Revolutionary Arab Socialist Ba'ath Party and later the Baghdad-based Ba'ath Party and its regional organization Ba'ath Party, Iraq Region, which espoused Ba'athism, a mix of Arab nationalism and Arab socialism, Saddam played a key role in the 1968 coup, later referred to as the 17 July Revolution, that brought the party to power in Iraq. As vice president under the ailing General Ahmed Hassan al-Bakr, and at the time when many groups were considered capable of overthrowing the government, Saddam created security forces through which he tightly controlled conflict between the government and the armed forces. In the early 1970s, Saddam nationalized oil and other industries. The state-owned banks were put under his control, leaving the system eventually insolvent, mostly due to the Iraq-Iran War, the Gulf War, and UN sanctions. Through the 1970s, Saddam cemented his authority over the apparatuses of government as oil money helped Iraq's economy to grow at a rapid pace. Positions of power in the country were mostly filled with Sunni Arabs, a minority that made up only a fifth of the population. Saddam formally rose to power in 1979, although he had been de facto head of Iraq for several years prior. He suppressed several movements, particularly Shia and Kurdish movements, seeking to overthrow the government or gain independence, and maintained power during the Iran-Iraq War and the Gulf War. Whereas some venerated Saddam for his opposition to Israel, which included the use of military force, he was widely condemned in the West for the brutality of his dictatorship. And the last event was in 1990 when the Luzon earthquake occurred. The Luzon earthquake occurred on Monday, July 16, at 26 past 4 p.m. local time on the densely populated island of Luzon in the Philippines. The shock had a surface wave magnitude of 7.8 and produced a 125-kilometer-long ground rupture that stretched from Dingalan, Aurora to Quiapo, Nueva Ecija. The event was a result of strike slip movements along the Philippine Fault and the Digdig Fault within the Philippine Fault system. The earthquake's epicenter was near the town of Rizal, Nueva Ecija, northeast of Cabanatuan City. An estimated 1,621 people were killed in the earthquake, most of the fatalities located in Central Luzon and the Cordillera region. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with this week's Spotlight. And today, it's on improving public and government relations. President Joko Widodo hopes that the existence of Hubul Waton Zikir Council can increase the relationship between the people and the government. Speaking at the national meeting of Hubul Waton Zikir Council in Jakarta on Thursday, July the 13th, the president said a cooperation between the government and the people is able to support many aspects, including the people's economic condition. This program will soon be implemented to boost the country's economy. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said Indonesia is currently a role model for other nations in the world for successfully managing the existing of plurality. This, according to the president, is the result of the guidance that is taught by the scholars in teaching Islam that brings blessings to the world, or rahmatan lil alamin. In addition, the scholars have also succeeded in teaching the people so that the guidance can be implemented in the life of nation and state, among others in realizing a moderate and polite Islam, not a radical Islam. He stressed that radical Islam is not Islam in Indonesia.
Tuntunan yang diberikan oleh para ulama itulah yang menjadikan kita sampai sekarang ini, alhamdulillah.
The guidance given by the scholars is what makes us to this day, alhamdulillah, harmonious, united in a diverse city. The guidance to create a wasatiyah Islam, a moderate, polite, not hard Islam, not a radical Islam. Radical Islam is not the Indonesian Islamic Council. Radical Islam is not Islam of Indonesia.
Islam yang radikal bukan Islamnya bangsa Indonesia.
On the occasion, the president also invites all Muslims to return to the spirit of helping each other in all aspects of life in order to realize a sovereign with personality, just and prosperous Indonesia. Meanwhile, at the opening of the national meeting, chairman of the Nahdlatul Ulama Executive Board, Kiai Haji Ma'ruf Amin, explained about the ulama's or scholars' responsibility. He hopes the meeting can be a gathering place for ulama, government and people. The goal is that all of them always strive to maintain the unity of Indonesian nation, which has been disturbed by the existence of radical groups who want to separate themselves from the unity of the nation.
Karena itu kita harus berusaha bagaimana menyatukan ini melalui peranata-peranata yang kita miliki, baik itu peranata.
Therefore, we must try to unite this through the institution we possess, whether they are state institution, social institution, or religious institutions. We want to make it our place through two things. The first through dialogue of nationality, and also through the efforts of zikir, prayer, and istighosa.
Zikir, doa, dan istighosa.
The Hubul Waton Zikir Council had a national meeting of Islamic scholars in Indonesia with the theme Strengthening the Foundation of Indonesian Nationalism at Hotel Borobudur, Jakarta on Thursday, July the 13th and Friday, July the 14th. About 700 Islamic scholars from various regions in Indonesia attended the event. Well, that was this week's Spotlight of Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture Puan Maharani advised that the commemoration of the 24th National Family Planning Day 2017 should not only be a ceremony but also make the National Family Planning Day as a vital time for all communities of Indonesia. The communication revolution in the world currently cannot be avoided, making all generations are able to play an active role in using social media. An active role of the community, especially the parents, in controlling the related materials which are widely circulated, became the key to preventing intolerance and radicalism in the midst of their family. Vice Chairman of Indonesia Security Incident Internet Infrastructure Salahuddin Manggalani evaluated that the blocking of one of social medias in Indonesia caused Indonesia lost a link in eradicating terrorist networks. Indonesia is not the only country that blocks access to Telegram messaging application services. Other countries have also blocked Telegram. Last month, Russia threatened to block Telegram if they did not reveal information on the companies behind Telegram to the government. Indonesian Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan instructed that Kalimantan and other provincial administrations to stop exporting commodities of raw material. He demanded that the natural resources to be processed so that they have added value. The second Tour de Flores TDF cycling race and tourism event being held on July 14 to 19 is expected to be more challenging as the number of regions to be covered during the tour has increased. The 2017 TDF covers a total distance of 808 kilometers, an increase from 661.5 kilometers in 2016 due to the addition of the Aguila by route in Ngada district. Listener, that was the news in brief.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a regular segment featuring Indonesian tourism like places of interest, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I will invite you to travel to Labuan Cermin Bay in East Kalimantan. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Indonesia is rich in custom and culture, tourist attraction, and Indonesia also add to the wealth of the state which is in the equator. The island of Kalimantan, one of the islands crossed by equator, has a tremendous appeal. A unique and must-visit place in East Kalimantan is Labuan Cermin Lake. Labuan Cermin is a lake located in Labuan Kelambu Village in Biduk-Biduk sub-district of East Kalimantan. From the capital of Berau District, Tanjung Redep, East Kalimantan, to get to Labuan Cermin Lake by road takes about 6 to 7 hours. Although the trip there is quite long, but the fatigue will soon disappear once you see the natural beauty of the lake. Labuan Cermin Lake, from the dock, visitors must rent a boat, which rental price is 200,000 rupiah for the return trip. It would be cheaper to go with a group. Arriving at Labuan Cermin, visitors will definitely be stunned by the beauty of this lake. The clear water down to the bottom of the lake makes the sea sand can be seen clearly. Why is it called Labuan Cermin? This is because the lake has a kind of layer that makes the sunlight bounce or reflect it. Cermin, by the way, in English is mirror. Labuan Cermin also has other unique sight. If you taste the lake water from the surface, it tastes salty, while the water at the bottom of the lake is tasteless. These two types of water make the lake have a separation layer so water can bounce off. Since Labuan Cermin Lake has both salty and tasteless water, it is often called Lake of Two Flavors. What must be observed by visitors is to remain cautious because although it looks shallow, the depth of the lake actually reaches 4 to 5 meters. In this lake, you can also do some activities like swimming, snorkeling, and diving. When diving, you should use diving glasses or goggles to see the fish that swim not far from the surface and some that are at the bottom. Different water flavors cause the fish to separate. This can make it easier to distinguish which types of freshwater fish and which type of seawater fish. If you want to enjoy the beautiful night at Labuan Cermin Lake, you can stay around the lake where there are some modest accommodation with various prices. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today introducing the beauty of Labuan Cermin Lake in East Kalimantan. We'll meet again tomorrow with the same program. I'm Anna Trijayakas.
thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment, Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. Indonesia has eateries with unique names, especially in tourist areas. The use of certain unique names aims to attract visitors, both locals, domestic tourists, and foreign tourists. However, not all existing dining places serve menus only for the living things. There is a food stall in Yogyakarta that provides a menu for spirits. Its name is Warung Makanan Roh Halus, or Food Stall for the Spirits. This edition of Miscellany invites you to get acquainted with food stall. So stay tuned in at www.voi.co.id. At the beginning of July 2017, Indonesian public were excited with a viral picture in social media depicting a food stall with banners reading "Food Stall for the Spirits." Different from other eating places that use bombastic names to attract visitors like Rawon Setan and Crazy Rice, "Food Stall is for the Spirits" was not trying to find a sensation, but it does present a special menu for the spirits. At a glance, the shop is located at Jalan Marta Dinata 9, Yogyakarta, looks like a traditional food stall in general. However, the menu offered is not fried chicken, tofu, let alone tempeh, which is a traditional food of local residents, but various flowers, incense, and all kinds of oil known as the food of the spirits. Although the menu and the name of the place is intended for the spirits, but visitors of food stall for the spirits are still human, not spirits. They come to buy various items sold in the shop for various purposes, ranging from pilgrimage, funeral ceremonies, as well as ritual for the expulsion of spirits or bad spirits. In fact, the food stall is always packed every day and almost never empty of visitors. Yogyakarta people who still uphold the customs of Javanese and familiar with various rituals, in fact, there are still some similar kiosks peddling similar items. However, Bambang Siswanto, the owner of Food Stall for the Spirits, named his stall as a differentiator. Together with his wife, Bambang Siswanto continues the effort that has been built by his late mother since 1982. Running a business associated with the occult invites Bambang to also relate to the world. The unseen realm was not a new thing for Bambang. Talent associated with the unseen nature derived from his parents who work as a spiritual teachers. Therefore, since childhood, Bambang has often seen invisible creatures. Until adulthood, the gift of Bambang continues to grow. Therefore, in addition to peddling the needs of pilgrimage and ritual, Bambang was often asked to heal people supposed affected by witchcraft or against spirits. Here, of course, against bad spirits. Although the stall is always crowded and even has become viral, it turns out to establish a warung or a stall associated with supernatural creatures has its own challenges. Trust and how to build relationship with supernatural beings is indeed one part of the culture that still exists in the land of Jawa. However, modernity and Islamic influence continue to undermine the number of people who believe in these things. especially when the Indonesian Ulama Council has issued a fatwa haram or forbidden for the practices of heresy, which is certainly contrary to the Islamic akidah or Islamic ways. Bambang was not disappointed. After going through various considerations, Bambang chose to defend his hereditary efforts. Because according to Bambang, although modernity and religion are growing rapidly in Indonesia, the Javanese will still return to their tradition and culture. Well, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic of Footstool for the Spirits. We meet again in the next edition of Miscellany tomorrow with other interesting topics. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Baikan Hazarika from India. Mr. Baikan Hazarika sent his email to info@voi.co.id. In his email, he said that he was listening through shortwave or on our frequency of 9525 kHz. He is interested in DXing, traveling, listening to the music, watching movies, sports, etc. Hello, Mr. Baikan Hazarika. Thank you for sending your email to our station, It is your first email to our station, isn't it? We really appreciate it, and please send your reception report on our broadcast. As information, Voice of Indonesia broadcasts in 8 foreign languages, namely French, Mandarin, Arabic, German, Spanish, Japanese, Dutch, and English, as well as Indonesian. If you are interested in learning Indonesian language, you can learn our language through our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We also have a segment called Indonesian Wonder, in which we tell about the beauty of Indonesian scenery. Please keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and don't forget to participate in our international quiz. Well, Mr. Baika Nazarika, as our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song special for you. Now we will reply an email from Mahesh Jain, also from India. In his email, Mr. Mahesh Jain said that he has a hobby of dancing since his school days and he came to know about Voice of Indonesia in very early days. He started making contact with Voice of Indonesia with mails recently. He is a regular and old-time listener of Voice of Indonesia. He likes all the programs of Voice of Indonesia and especially Indonesian Wonder, as he thinks it is the best one. Hello, Mr. Mahesh Jain. Thank you very much for always monitoring our broadcast. Most of our listeners also said that they like our segment Indonesian Wonder. Through the segment, as if you are traveling to Indonesia and see Indonesian beautiful sceneries by yourself. So, Mr. Mahesh Jain, keep listening to our broadcast and please don't forget to send your reception report. Thank you. Listening to listeners' mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and you are still with me, Ania Sana. Now we continue to reply a comment from Sundara Vadivel. In his email, Mr. Sundara Vadivel said that he's interested in participating in the quiz contest. Please send more detail about the program. Hello, Mr. Sundara Vadivel, wherever you are. Thank you for sending your email on our broadcast. And you can join the quiz by answering the questions and send them to our email addresses voyinternationalquiz@gmail.com, voyinternationalquiz@gmail.com, and voyinternationalquiz@voi.co.id, voyinternationalquiz@voi.co.id. It is open for our listeners around the world, and you can get information in detail about the program through our website www.voi.co.id. So, what are you waiting for? Send your answer as soon as possible because the quiz will be closed on August 1st. Well, Mr. Sundara Vadivel, keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And for you, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia, and also visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, @Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. And for your information, Voice of Indonesia is again holding international quiz. You can join the quiz by answering the questions and send them to email address voiinternationalquiz@gmail.com and voiinternationalquiz@voi.co.id. It is open for our listeners around the world. So don't miss it and keep listening to Voice of Indonesia. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ani Hasana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Dancing down the streets, living in all I'm living inside. There is no turning back. Keep my head up, try to hold on tight. Dancing down the city, living all the memories inside. There is no to let it go. It's time to wake up now. It's time to let it go.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, Voi Indonesia.